July. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, that was cold. But things are starting to warm up, especially here on East West Audio Body Shop, because we have a really hot babe coming on this Monday night. A great actress, a wonderful voice from down under, Larissa Gallagher. She's got some great stuff to talk to us about.
And she's going to be right here in my studio. Woo-hoo,
lucky you.
Me. She's great. I love her. I'll be talking about IPDTL, those five magic letters. It sure had a lot of buzz lately. It's the next competition for Source Connect and ISDN? Well, we'll see. I'll share my thoughts and maybe we'll do a little test.
Sounds like a great plan. And in my tip of the week, we'll talk about all of those interfaces for iOS devices. So that ought to be interesting, too. So join us Monday night, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And we'll see you in...
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Good evening, all. How is everybody out there? Boy, we got a crowd in here tonight. It's even crowded in your studio, too.
I know. We got some other souls in the room tonight, which makes it way more fun. Check out who's sitting over here next to me. Let me get the shot. There we go.
Hello.
Woo-hoo. Larissa came in.
Larissa Gallagher joining us tonight.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
In studio.
Where did you come from tonight?
Well, technically, directly from West Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
But your home is down Southland,
Hermosa
right?
Hermosa Beach.
Hermosa Beach. Wonderful.
Right opposite the water.
Excellent. And thanks for coming by. It's so much more fun when our guests are here with us.
Of course.
Always more fun.
Indeed. Thanks.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Well, we got lots to talk about tonight. We're going to talk with Larissa because she's had a fascinating career. And as we mentioned, as we were talking earlier, it's just in her infancy.
Oh, yeah.
She's not in her infancy, but her career. I see great things happening with her.
No doubt.
And with our help, she can go real far.
Oh, yeah. She's getting the EWABs bumped tonight, woo-hoo! Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, because we've both worked in with your audio stuff. So
that's true. Commission.
Yeah, so now you're set for life.
That's right. Anyway, we've got a couple of great things to talk about tonight. You're going to talk about IPDTL. Did I say that right? Right?
I think so. It's five letters. Say them in order. You got it.
IPDTL.
Right.
So the IP must be Internet Protocol DTL. Am I correct?
Yeah. I have to Google the other part.
Well, but you know so much about it.
Yeah. Well, I know how it works. I know what it does.
Yes. I've got another tip of the week, a fresh, hot off the press tip of the week, which should evoke some conversation. And of course, Larissa will be joining us in a little bit. If you've got any questions for her,
put them in the chat room.
Put them in the chat room.
Yeah, we'll queue them up.
Our wonderful chat room monitors, Anthony and Catherine, will forward those to us, so we will make sure that Larissa gets to answer them. Mm-hmm. Also, make sure we still got plenty East West Audio Body Shop clickers. $5. Let me make sure they're in the light there.
How many do we have left? Like 2,000?
2,052.
We got a lot to get rid of.
So $5, help support the show and correct all your mistakes.
Voila.
You're on, kiddo.
You got it, buddy. All right. Well, I was going to talk about IPDTL, and it's been getting a huge amount of buzz. Huge amount of buzz. I mean, it kind of surprises me how something that seems so innocuous could become so popular so quickly. But to the those who are living under a rock or not on the internet that much, IPDTL is a new method of transferring audio, or actually streaming audio, between two studios. So think ISDN, Source Connect, that kind of thing. Check out IPDTL. IPDTL works over Google Chrome. So as far as I know, the only restriction to using is that you have to have the Google Chrome browser, which is free. So no big whoop, right? And so install, as long as you have that browser on your computer, you can load IPDTL. And if you go to IPDTL.com, that's going to take you to their free page of their website. And let me swing this into the shot so I can share it and show you guys what I'm looking at, if it's going to be possible to do this relatively elegantly without being too much of a train wreck. And let me switch the shot of that. There we go. So we're only seeing a little bit of the page here, but I will fix that. But anyway, IPDTL, if you go to the website, it takes you to the free section of the website, which is a fully free version of IPDTL that anybody can use right out of the gate. And all you have to do is get a free account to get it started. And so you click on this link right here, fill out a little form, and voila, you have access to IPDTL. And that's pretty much all there is to it. Now, this is the free version, but there's also what they call the VO version. So if you buy the VO version, you actually are buying a license, and what that gets you is a higher quality connection, using a higher quality audio codec settings, and it gives you a dedicated account, and you can also give an account to another person to log in and connect with really easily. So once you have the VO version, you go to ipdtl.com/VO, and that's going to take you to the VO version. So from the user interface standpoint, there's really no difference. It's just a matter of which page you're logging into. So again, all you need to make it work is Windows, laptop, tablet, or MacBook. It doesn't work on an iPad yet or any kind of iOS device because it requires Google Chrome. So obviously you have to have Chrome to use it. And you need to have any kind of a USB audio interface. So it looks like it has to be specifically USB. So if you're using something with FireWire, you're probably out of luck. You might have to get a dedicated USB device or whatever internal sound device you have in your computer if it's good enough. And an internet connection. The amount of bandwidth you need, I mean, we've been testing it, but I'm kind of spoiled because I'm on Fios fiber optic. I'm getting a huge amount of up and download speed here. But supposedly, if you have at least about 200, 250 kilobits per second up and down, you're in good shape. So it's kind of similar to that of Source Connect. And what's really cool about it is it doesn't use any iLock. It doesn't use any specialized hardware. It just needs Chrome to talk over the internet. And the geek data, as they call it, it uses this Opus audio codec up to 128 kilobits per second. And Opus is this, basically ISDN uses MPEG layer 2 mono 128. That's the standard that everybody in the voiceover business uses as their codec. This thing uses a much newer codec, really new codec, actually. It's only been around in the mainstream for about a year, and it's called Opus. And what's amazing about Opus is it is very, very fast, very, very quick, and it responds very well to, well, actually, it has very low latency. So if you've gotten a little more accustomed to the latency, and that's the delay between the time you speak and the time the other person talks, if you've gotten used to hearing a pretty big delay, and even on cell phones, I know on my Verizon phone, I'll be talking to somebody and you'll wait like a half a second for them to respond sometime, especially if you're in a bad coverage area. This thing, the turnaround time or latency is remarkably good. I mean, it's less than about a third of a second or something like that. So, really, we're talking about a Source Connect that's going to be a lot more affordable and a lot more accessible to a lot of people. And also, one thing that's really key, and if you've dealt with Source Connect, you know what I mean. This thing has what they call automatic NAT traversal, which is just geek words for you don't have to do a lot of network preparation and setup. You don't have to port map. You don't have to do a lot of things that other systems may require you to do to make it work. So it's a little bit easier to use. Like, maybe it feels more like Skype, but the audio quality is way better than Skype. It's even, you know, it's up there with Source Connect in regards to audio quality. And it's pretty amazing. So, I mean, what's the upshot? Well, I mean, obviously the fact that it's practically, it's either free and or inexpensive, only about $180 a year, I believe it is, for a license right now. And it's very easy to set up and use. But the downsides are, at this point of the game, is that, of course, it's brand new. So it's not really been tested much in the real world. There's very few people that have really used it in real sessions to see what it can do and what it can handle and how reliable it is. There's really no support network. It's pretty much a guy. And as you can see right on the page there, his phone number is right there. So you're basically hoping that if you need help, he can answer the phone. So that's another little bit of a downside, you know. And I think, you know, when you're looking at comparing this to something like Source Connect, you know, the big difference is the support network that Source Connect has invested in setting up and providing to the voice actors or anybody that needs to use it. And this is a little bit early days. It's only been around for about 6 months, and the support isn't really there yet. But I can say that I have used it, and I've used it for a test with the developer over in the UK. And then, ironically, that same exact day, I had a test with a talent in Spain, of all places. And, yeah, the audio quality was surprisingly good. And, again, what I found was the delay was low, or the latency was low. And it didn't have pretty much, I think it maybe had one glitch over the course of like 45 minutes session. Almost no delays or glitches of any kind over to Spain and back. So my experience so far has been pretty positive. Now, I'm seeing in the chat room, Anthony chimed in. He said the BBC is using IPDTL to replace ISDN. Were you aware of that? No, I was not.
That really is a tipping point.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, they're saying that they believe they don't need to use ISDN anymore, the BBC. That's a pretty big deal. I mean, this is what a lot of voice actors have been waiting for, something like this. I mean, Source Connect has really made a strides in this area, and I think they're going to be relevant for a long time. But the fact that there's IPDTL now, that is so much easier to get, so much less expensive. The barrier to entry is so much less. And, you know, the fact that there's some major, well, something like BBC saying, hey, we're going to use this, that's a pretty ringing endorsement. And, you know, I think it's a very good chance that this is going to become more mainstream. And it's great for voice actors, because now it means that you guys are not being singled out, or at least being alienated from a lot of jobs that before you couldn't possibly get unless you had ISDN. And, well, you know, it's like, yeah, I mean, well, as a talent, you know, I know I have clients that they just have to turn down the audition because it says, you know, ISDN only. And that ISDN old boys club, or whatever you want to call it, that is sort of, I think, sort of a bit of a weed out factor that keeps a lot of people from being available for certain jobs, is no longer going to be the factor that it used to be. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, do you think the kind of work you're doing, Dan, the type of clients you work with, IPDTL, is going to be popular? Or is it really, you know, just another tool that isn't that
it's going to be that necessary? I think that in the immediate future, I can see that it might help me with some of my clients in Europe, where it might be taking on more popularity quickly. Here, it's going to be one of those things where people don't necessarily always ask me to direct me or anything. They throw me stuff, it gets done. Right. But if there is a directed session, I will say, look, here's a new technology that's actually better than ISDN. Would you like to try it? And they'll immediately ask, are you getting a spiff on that or something?
Right.
And I'll go, no.
Right.
But I am helping both of us out and saving us both money. So,
yeah.
I think it's going to be a matter of we need to be salespeople for these people to make this particular technology come up. And I figure if they're coming up with this technology, there's going to be a lot of similar things coming along. So what you're going to see with the demise of ISDN is a tremendous competitive market for platforms like this.
Do you use ISDN yourself, Larissa?
Yeah, I did. You I found did? That I had to get it because I was getting asked for it so much. And especially, I was really interested to hear about the UK or BBC as well, because that was my biggest push to get it, was that I just found UK clients would approach me and say, do you have ISDN? And the minute I said no, it was like, well, thanks, but no thanks. It was like really heavily, heavily based over there a lot. So that was my experience, and that's what I ended up having to do in Australia also. But, I mean, it costs a lot of money. If there's a way to do it easily and quickly digital, then...
What are you paying these days for your service?
It's around... Well, it was more the setup, I think. Yeah, you kind of... Like, the service, you just, you know... I mean, it's not... That's not obscene, and especially I've seen some people... In the groups recently,
I've
saying that it's
close
gone up
to $400 a month
yeah.
in some places.
No, I'm easily half of that, but the setup is big, and it's and it's big for getting it in your house, and it takes a long time to do. And so, but that said, I didn't feel like I had an option.
How long ago did you get your ISDN lines?
About 6 months ago.
See, I think you got pretty lucky because I have clients in the Manhattan Beach area that can't get it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so,
that's
you know, there's areas down in the South Bay where it's just not available.
Right.
So it's getting harder to get it even in these major metropolitan areas. So yeah, consider yourself lucky.
Thank goodness.
So it's, you know, on the one hand it's like, oh, I made the investment, I won't need it anymore. But on the other hand, you know, it's another tool, it's another investment in your business that you may need to own to connect. So at least IPDTL doesn't have that upfront. That big upfront investment to use it. So,
exactly. And I'm looking forward to the big check they're sending us this week for all this.
Yay!
We wish. Hey, well, I mean, sponsorship idea.
Oh, well, in full disclosure, I mean, I've been selling and promoting the use of Source Connect for, at least 4 years. Okay,
at least, yeah.
And you know, I've spoken to them about. They know that they know IPDTL is out there, and Rebecca from Source Elements, who owns Source Elements, is. Fully aware, she's like, you always talk about the best tool for the job, and that's my thing. So I'm always going to be that way, even if, you know, Source Connect is kind of the thing that I put my put the money where my mouth is about. But you know, the best tool is going to win no matter what it is. So that's the way I'm going to look at it.
Well, the conversation shall continue on this one. I think it's, as we were talking about last week, that I think it's probably one of the prime issues for our audience. So
yeah.
Excellent. So that's a good topic.
So yeah, go check it out. Go to IPDTL.com and sign up for a free account and start playing around with it and testing it. And if you find it works great, tell your clients about it. Try to get some of the studios using it. Nobody's going to care unless the studios that hire you or the clients that hire you want to use it.
Right.
So
they're
talk
go,
about
wow,
it.
Wow, what a neat tool. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we got lots more coming up here on East West Audio Body Shop on a Monday night. Yes, we're still here on Monday night. I think we're going to stay here for a while. This is episode 127. 125 just sort of slipped by.
I know.
Without any fanfare.
We talked about having some kind of a big deal at it. I was like, just another episode.
Just
slipped right by.
150, well, you know.
Right.
At 13, we wanted to have a bar mitzvah for it, but that didn't quite work out. Anyway, we've got more coming up. We've got tip of the week, a few announcements, and the lovely and talented Larissa Gallagher. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop.
Are you suffering from technophilia, the disease that affects 2 out of every 5 voiceover artists?
Oh my God, the adapter for the iPad and Apogee mic comes out today. I gotta get one, right now.
You see, for the average technophile, it is impossible to not know about and have the latest technical product available.
That's it. I won't eat this week and I can afford the new Avalon VT737SP compressor. That will make my voice perfect.
If you are a sufferer, come to EWABS every week, where George Whittam and Dan Leonard, the renowned experts in the field of technophilia, can get you back to reality and living your life again. Log on every Sunday to East West Audio Body Shop at 6 Pacific, 8 Central, and 9 Eastern. Do it direct. Do it collect. But do it today.
Well, that was new. technophilia.
That's right.
Not to be confused with a couple of other things. Somebody had a question earlier on. I can't remember exactly what it was. And I said we would answer it in the next segment. Now I can't find it in the chat room.
It was in the chat room?
It was in the chat room. Let's see here. Boy, you guys just keep talking and talking. It makes it harder for me to find stuff in here.
If you were
asking that question, I think who was it that was asking that?
Speak up, whoever it was.
Speak up in the chat room so I can answer that question.
Larry.
Yeah. Because it was an excellent. Larry, yeah. What was the question, Larry?
Was it Larry?
I think so.
Let's see here. We're just filling, you know, valuable broadcast time here. It doesn't matter. Well, when we get to it, we'll get to it. Oh, here it is. Yes. Currently. Oh, excellent question, Larry. See, I found it. It's just you have to scroll back a little bit. Currently, using a Focusrite Sapphire 6 USB, a very fine unit made by Focusrite.
Right.
Would updating to the Focusrite 2i2 make any difference in recording quality? Well, we all know what I say about that, and that actually is going to play into my tip of the week this week. Mm. You know, there are so many good interfaces out there. The Sapphire 6 is a great thing, and you're not going to see a difference in quality. It's all in a matter of usage, I think, and how you use it. If you're using, like, you know, 4 mics at a time, yeah, you might want to use that. But a 2i2... You know, it sounds pretty good. We've been recommending those. I think I may start recommending some other stuff now. You know, I've been using a 2i2 for a while. It has its quirks, but it sounds great. It's not expensive. And, it might be a good thing to, you know, to have as a backup or something along those lines. So,
yeah, the Sapphire, I think, is the predecessor to the 2i2. It was around before the 2i. It was around before the Scarlett. So I think... The Scarlett may have some, you know, shared components, may have some of the similar guts inside. I don't know. It's Sony guts. Who knows? But it's probably very similar. And if you already have it, the only reason to buy with 2i2, I would think, would be as a backup.
Yeah. And if you're cheap. but if you're cheap and it works, but it works great.
Yeah,
it's what I'm using and I'm cheap. So that's the way it goes.
There you go.
All right. Well, speaking of cheap, let's move on to our tip of the week. Talk a little bit about some of these iOS devices.
Speaking of cheap.
When asked why or how I do things, my response is usually,
because I can.
So it goes with iOS recording. You know, using your iPad or iPhone or those great new Android-based tablets to record that 2-hour documentary. You know, it's breakthrough technology. The ability to do it is there. But do you have to? Let's review. It started rather inauspiciously. First, there were USB microphones. Then, the pocket-size interfaces. Then came the USB to 30-pin connector. Then the iOS dock, the Apogee mic, the Blue Digital Sparky. You know, George and I have been saying all along that it's just a matter of time until tablet-based recording becomes the norm. Originally, we said 2 years. 2 years ago. I think our thinking was actually fairly accurate based on the plethora of devices we now see on the market, which really should be the tipping point. We've got the Focusrite iTrack Solo, this very expensive Studio 6 digital audio interface too,
Abbott's now in the business with the Fast-Track Duo and Solo iOS device. Alesis has a new thing called the Alesis IO Mix. Behringer has something similar with the iStudio. Epygee, which had a great thing with their One, now has an iOS version called the Epygee One iOS, and a larger thing for more complicated recording called the Quartet. Then there's the adult brother of the old iRig, the iRig Pro, which is a true digital interface. And now a device from Sentrance, who brought us the groundbreaking Micport Pro, a new device due this spring called the Mixer Face, which is battery-powered. What people are looking for is something light to travel with. Again, we all know how I feel about recording on the road. If you're looking at a main full-time interface solution, any one of these will fill the bill. Which is best? Doesn't really matter. As far as I'm concerned, they all sound the same. If it's an on-the-road solution, just like for a home studio, keep it simple. On-the-road should be just for auditions and simple one-time recordings. Now, this is where the discussion degrades into geekdom and distances itself from what really matters, and that's simple one-track voiceover files. Just 'cause you can doesn't mean you gotta. However, being able to answer auditions with the files you create is still an issue. For the most part, you still can't attach files directly in response to an incoming audition notice. Twisted Wave gives you the ability to upload to a Dropbox or attach to a new email or even a text. Still kind of clunky for our needs, however. So, the time to record and edit with these great tablet devices is finally here. But until it's as easy to do with your laptop or your desktop, you might just want to wait a little bit. And that's my tip of the week. Now, two items that I failed to mention in there, which I think I'll save for another tip of the week, which will give me something to talk about for another week, one, software for iOS devices. Primarily, I mean, George and I thoroughly recommend using Twisted Wave to do that. I think that's probably the best software we've found that works on the good old iPad. And that's what I use when I'm there, because there's everything else is like this, you know, convoluted multi-track stuff that really doesn't do quite the same stuff. Nothing's more functional. You can edit using your fingers and little finger gestures and stuff.
Well, with the Australian theme, there is one other option out there made by...
Is it
Rode or Rode? How do they say it in Australia?
Oh, Rode mics. I say Rode.
I think it's just Rode. Rode makes Rode Rec or Rode REC. And that's another option for the iPad tablet. It's a competitor to Twisted Wave. Yeah,
Twisted View. Well, we do have a Twisted View,
right now.
Yeah, especially right now.
Wait a minute. What am I drinking again?
Nothing.
Tell me what I am drinking.
There's
here.
Nectar of the
Latin
gods.
American theme tonight.
Yes, it's her fault. Where were we?
Yes, the other point being now. This is happening to me as I get... I'm 57 now. The brain is just falling out the other ear. The other point being... it had to do with software that enables you to upload files from one program to another, because it's difficult to upload, say, an audition, say, to one of the pay-to-plays using that. And it was suggested to me to try something called iUploader.
I
tried iUploader, and server error. So I'm not ready to quite recommend that quite yet.
Okay.
But if they can get their act together on that, that's going to be the answer. But somebody else is going to come up with a better idea. This is capitalism at its best. This is the marketplace. Someone's going to do it faster, better, cheaper, and that's going to solve all our problems, and life will be wonderful everywhere.
Yeah, or maybe Apple will just make our lives easier and just make it so you can upload files to anything you want from any program you want.
But are we listening? Apple. You folks?
Make the iPad work like the i... Just here's my dream product. I want the MacBook Air that works like the Surface from Microsoft. So you can take it on and off the keyboard. You know, you can have the tablet and it locks into the keyboard, and now it's a MacBook Air with a touchscreen. And then when you don't want to have it, you just want to have a lightweight touchscreen machine, pop it off and take it with you, and you've got, you know. So that's what I'm. Come on, Apple. I'm sure their Skunk Works is working on it right now.
Everybody just yell real loud towards Cupertino and maybe they'll listen.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we have Larissa Gallagher with us, and we're going to have a wonderful conversation with her, which we've already been having, but it's only going to get better. Mm-hmm. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by himself.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Now back to EWABS with Dan and George.
No, it's George and Dan.
No, it's not. It's Dan and George.
George and Dan.
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 George and Dan.
Dan and George.
George and Dan.
Dan and George.
Dan and George.
George and Dan.
Dan and George. George and Dan. Dan and George.
And we're back.
These bumpers crack me up.
They're getting better and better.
That's the whole point. They're fun.
Yes. Well, let's give a big East West Audio Body Shop welcome to one of our favorite people, a good friend of ours, a client of ours. She's not just a friend, she's a client.
Yeah. In that order.
In that order. Larissa Gallagher, welcome to the show.
Thank
officially.
You. Thank you. Wow.
Great to have you on, and great to have you actually there.
Yes, thank you for having me in your wonderful studio.
You're welcome. How would you describe this space to the uninitiated? Would you call it a studio?
I would say it's...
About the size of a studio apartment.
Studio apartment. Someone in New York would live in this room.
No, it's a pretty good size room. I just have it really cluttered with stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. But it's good stuff.
Hobbies, toys,
pictures,
airplanes, cars.
Pee-pee puppy,
yeah.
It's entertaining.
That's the first thing everybody sees is pee-pee puppy.
Yeah, that's right.
Which makes Trumpet Man oh so
Trumpet
happy.
Man. My dad is in the chat room. He's Trumpet Guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello, Trumpet Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All righty. Well, you've had a fascinating career so far, and you've been everywhere.
I have.
I mean, all over the place. Now, you're from Oz, eh?
That's right. I started out in Perth, Western Australia,
yep,
which is where I was born and started my illustrious career. Then moved to Sydney, then spent some time in Melbourne, did touring around Australia, then moved back to Perth, unceremoniously quit acting for good and went into radio. It was a very short break in the acting world that I took. Got back into doing theatre again. Then met my wonderful husband, who brought me to Washington, D.C. And then spent a few years in D.C. and then moved to L.A. Sunny, sunny L.A. Got too cold in D.C. Sorry, East Coast peeps.
Hey, you don't know what cold is.
Hey, I dug my car out of snow once in Jersey, and I said, that's it, never again. And 2 months later, I was in L.A.
If only it was that easy.
The last time I dug my car out of snow, I remember breaking the handle of the shovel. Like I went to the hardware store, got a shovel, dug until I broke the handle off, and then kept digging with my hands to get the car out.
Nice.
See you later, Philly.
Yeah, that's that
Philly.
Feeling.
Nice to know you. I love being from Philly. I don't like living there
anymore.
Nice
to visit.
Yeah. And it's nice to visit all of your fine places, but I will stay where I am.
Well, even when it's
5 degrees.
Well, I would have had nowhere to move to if there wasn't lovely people like yourself to help me out once I got there.
I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so you've been well educated in the performing arts because you were telling us that you were an actress, you were in radio, you're also a dancer.
Yes, I did. I started as a dancer. Actually, I started originally doing speech and drama classes way, way back when I was 6, and around the same time I started doing ballet and piano. But then, the ballet kind of took over for a long time, and I toured Europe as a youth, as a ballet dancer. But then I kind of got to 16, 17 and went, I like to eat. And so I decided that I wanted to perform on stage, but I didn't want to be officially a ballet dancer. And at the time was taking singing lessons and so moved into musical theatre and then luckily got picked up by the Academy of Performing Arts in Western Australia, which has had such famous graduates as Hugh Jackman.
Wow.
Yes.
I have a man crush on that guy.
Oh, man. I have a woman. We all used to go to cafes in Perth. He used to work at a cafe in Perth and we used to go every Sunday night because he would serve us. Anywho, that was a long time ago.
Oh, my God.
And then graduated there, moved to Sydney. Yeah, continued on in theatre and musical theatre, performing professionally. Before moving into radio and really discovering voiceover, I'd done some voiceover kind of freelance in the East Coast in Australia, but then really kind of – I initially went into radio to do production work, working kind of behind the scenes in promotions, but the minute they found out I was an actor, said, get in there.
Get in the studio. Oh, you were the promotions gal.
I was the promotions gal.
You were out there doing were you going out doing remotes?
I did do that for a little while, but then I stayed behind the scenes just kind of the creative process.
Good.
Which was great because I mean there's, you know, elements of copywriting and stuff in there, so I think I got like a really big background in what I've now come into, which was excellent.
Man, you can't think of a better combination of backgrounds and skills than acting and radio, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's some good preparation for voiceover.
Absolutely. And Dan, you had said earlier, you know, and absolutely I agree that my career in itself is in its infancy, but sometimes I kind of feel that sense of, well, it took me 20 years to get here. And,
I know, 20 years to get to this point.
Not that new, really. But,
I think Dan is saying that you look very young. You must be 30, maybe 31.
Thank you.
I was going to say 27.
I must be. 27? Yes. I'll take that too, thanks.
Okay, I figured you would. So you got out of radio, and how did you end up here in the lovely US of A?
Well, as I said, it was 100% my now husband dragged me over, kicking and screaming. Mm. And he was living in DC at the time. And so it was really, I moved over not initially intending to do any theater or performing arts at all. I kind of just moved over to be with him. Cue violins now. But then once I was here and, excuse me, and because I didn't have a green card for a little while, so I went in. I started kind of exploring theatre companies that I could do some work with temping, and then the minute I got my green card, started getting cast in shows in DC, which was excellent. And then kind of due to him, revamped the whole voiceover stuff because I had a demo made in Australia, etc. And Ed happened to be listening to it when he was out running one day and was like, what is that? How come you never told me that you could do that? And then he said, you need to go and do that right now. So got a demo made in New York, and that's where it all took off. Kind of went on the internet and how do I start in voiceover, and spent the next, you know, however long researching and studying.
It's kind of cool to hear how many stories that I do hear where the spouse or the significant other or whatever has a strong influence on somebody's career. Like they pushed them one direction or the other, they pulled them, or, you know, it's kind of neat to hear that sometimes.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, I think, it, you know, whether it's a spouse or, you know, just a partner or a friend or, you know, somebody, but having someone who supports you. Yeah, and someone who believes in you is, you know, because we all know it gets tough sometimes, mm-hmm. but to have someone go, no, 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 you're good, shut up, keep going, whatever.
Absolutely.
Absolutely helps. So.
Yeah. And you were lucky to get out of Washington because, as I recall, your studio there was, it seemed like it was in a front hall with a lot of tile or something.
Yes, that's right. Our house was completely tiled. And that was somewhat difficult, but that was due to you help me through that. And, you know, I worked there solidly for the first year was in my makeshift tile studio with carpets and, you know, the room divider, blankets and all of that. But I built up a lot of work and enough to, you know, get myself going and bought a whisper room there and then kind of transported that over to LA and built up from there. But, I my whole career, I would say, in voiceover really since I moved to LA has been on the web until I moved to LA.
Right.
So from the whole time in DC, I built up all my client base, everything from, you know, whether it be pay to plays or whether it just be, you know, marketing and getting my name out there. And just, yeah, researching, watching webinars, you know, finding things like FAFCON and Voice 2012, all those things was really integral to my getting started, and which made it so easy once I moved to LA. I mean, I was very lucky and it did take a long time in the making, but it felt like I transitioned so easily. I got I kind of researched my agents when I got here, got a really good agent straight up. And yeah, so I felt like I did a lot of homework. Mm-hmm. And then so when I put my foot forward, it all just came back kind of tenfold. So.
Well, you're in the right place at the right time. What was the, when you really shifted from being an actress to doing voiceover, what mm-hmm. was the hardest thing for you?
I'm going to say there are two things. One was I really believed that I should, when I first started in LA, was I really believed that I should have, that I needed to push myself as an American voice talent. And I could do an American accent and I, you know, and that, and so I kind of wanted to be in with everyone. And then it took me a while to kind of go, you know, you've got something that makes you unique and different and puts you in a niche that so many people don't have and can't do. So, you know, just respect and admire what is different about me and use that in my work. And so now that I am doing a lot, I'm actually now getting, you know, a lot of American accent work, but it's because I found myself in my work before I was putting it on. So that was kind of a bit of a journey, because I think so many times you want to portray yourself as I can do this and I can do that and I'm the person that's got, you know, jack of all trades. And sometimes you have to come back to, you know, what's really deep inside to then expand on. So that was one thing which was tough, but, you know, I moved past that. The other thing that was tough that continues to be tough is just the business side of things. But it's amazing to me, because in Australia, I would say what I really struggled with as an actor was I just never realized how important it was to be a business person. And so, you know, that is so integral, as I'm sure so many people know. But, you know, just even when I think that I've overcome a hurdle or something, or you think, oh, I got that great client and they love me and, you know, and they can disappear if you don't look after them and things like that. But
care and feeding of your clients. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, and that's tough, because that continues to be like a daily thing of having to remember and, you know, and finances and accounting and all that stuff that you go, why can't someone else look after it? But, you know, that's the joy of discovery as well, because when it does work and you are starting to make kind of the money and getting the kind of the accolades that you craved, then you know you did it all yourself, which is empowering as well.
Yeah. So what's your home studio like in California?
In California, it's so much better. I'm waiting for my next improvement, as George knows. I do kind of at the moment. I have like a makeshift whisper room. I have a Rode microphone. I work.
Well, of course.
Of course. I work mainly, although truth be told, I didn't actually know Road was an Australian brand when I got it. I was just drawn to it. But yeah, I work with the Sound Booth because I love. Is it still a Sound Booth? No, Audition.
The Mac software.
The Mac software.
Sound Booth.
Sound Booth? No, I think it's moved to Audition.
It's Audition CCS.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. Because I
was thinking of Sound Studio, another program altogether. Yeah.
I think Sound it was Booth. Originally Sound Booth, and then they discontinued it.
Yeah, there was Adobe Audition on Windows, Sound Booth on Mac, and then the two just got kind of melded together.
And that's why I like it. Because right. I love Sound Booth, and then when I started working with Audition and they melded the two, it was like, perfect.
Yeah, I think you were like one of the first people I worked with consulting that was on Sound Booth.
Oh, actually. Interesting.
Yeah.
But it was good. And I'm really attracted to the 3D.
Yeah, the spectral.
Spectrogram.
How do they call it? Spectrograph?
Graph?
Something like that.
It's that colored thing that makes a big difference.
Yeah. That's right. So I have my iPad and I use my Twisted Wave on that. I do have Twisted Wave at home. I love it. But I just get, you know, I'm a bit of a techie nerd when it comes to pops and clicks, and I just want to get in.
Yeah,
and get
auto heal those things.
Yeah,
I think so, Dan's similar. I think Dan, you said you record in Twisted Wave and then edit in, or what? You throw a hybrid approach, don't you?
It depends. If it's something that's really long format, if it's a lot of slides or something like that, I will initially record it in Twisted Wave because Twisted Wave doesn't take up as much memory and it just never crashes. And if I'm doing something short, I usually use Audition. I will process an Audition because there's more stuff in Audition than there is in Twisted Wave. So they're interchangeable. You just move file from one to the other. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
I know that scares some people, but anyway.
What are you running your mic? So you got a Rode mic. What are you running it into?
Apogee One, and then into the computer.
Yeah.
And then when I travel, I have iPad with an Apogee mic.
Boy, did we sell a lot of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's like the greatest thing since sliced bread, and everybody, and they like it. It's a great little mic.
I like it. Yeah, it's been good for me, and really because when I first, because I travel quite a bit as well, and when my little horror story, when I first started traveling, and I would take, I can't even remember, I think I had an MXL mic that I would take with me, and I was going through customs once, and the guy pulled it out of my carry-on. It was all beautifully wrapped, and he was like, "What's this?" And I was like, "Oh, it's a microphone." He was like, "Oh, I've got to put that back through." Threw it, clonk, into the, bin and put it back through. And then when I got to the hotel room and turned it on, it was like, and I'm like, great. Thank you, customs. Oh, so, never again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a little break here as I look down at Larissa from up here. We'll be right back with a few more of your questions, and we'll get to wrap things up here at East West Audio Body Shop, so don't you go away. VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
This is East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. Now back to Dan and George.
That was so plain.
I know, gotta mix it up. That's his NFL read, Larry Davis.
That's right,
NFL read. So it's NFL season. I figured, what the heck?
That fits. That fits. I mean, he doesn't do anything plain. It's just not as funny as the other ones.
Right.
But he could be anybody he wants.
No doubt.
Yes. Well, while we have Larissa with us, she is actually going to model something for us because it's time to talk about voiceoveressentials.com.
Voiceover Essentials. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, our great friend Harlan Hogan, his website with everything you need for voiceover. But one of our favorite items there that we think every voice artist should have, if you wear headphones, and they're not for listening to Pink Floyd, you should be wearing the Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones. And they are a wonderful set of headphones, as Larissa is now modeling them, I'm sure. There they are. And they're great, one, because they're well-built. They actually have this great thing in them. They have the Twist-O-Flex band on them.
Let me show you, Dan. Hang on. I missed that cool shot of you. Do it again.
What? This one?
The thing you were just doing with the Twist-O-Flex. Oh, okay.
The Twist-O-Flex band. They fit really great. Mm-hmm. They're comfortable because they've got leather pads with memory cans. See, very good. Thank you, Carol.
Sorry. Chat room, you naughty chat room.
What is going on? Yes,
it's the cans. It is the cans. Yes,
of course. So, Larissa, you've been listening to them all evening. What do you think of them?
I actually seriously love them. Before I knew that they were the Harlan Hogan headphones, and I was sitting here going, I love this whole setup. It's really clear. I actually had them asked for the sound to be turned
volume
down
because they're not an issue.
Yeah, it was
they
not
can get
an issue.
Louder than you can. Ever.
And they're really the clarity is excellent. Excellent.
How about the comfort? Do they fit your head pretty well?
Yeah, totally. It's really, super comfortable. Sorry, cool, and cool, I kind cool. of tend to have a smallish head in headphones. I'm always pushing it.
Okay.
I know, it's good.
Good.
Excellent.
Thank
there you,
you
go. Very nicely done. VoiceOverEssentials.com. Go over there. Buy his stuff.
That's right.
Thanks, Harlan.
Thank you very much, Harlan. You've been there from the beginning. We really appreciate it.
127 episodes.
That's right.
He's made us a happy
Indeed.
Guy. All righty. Well, Larissa, we've got some great questions here from the audience. Let's see here. For an Aussie, this is from Australia of all places. For an Aussie making that leap to the U.S., what was it like for you? You sort of talked about that. How did you prepare for it? And what advice would you have for anyone wishing to follow your trailblazing footsteps?
That was from Carol Spencer Morgan.
Thank you, Carol.
In Canberra.
Aussie. Just for her. I would say, really honestly, in my experience, as that's all I can really talk about it, it really wasn't very difficult. I actually have found Americans and the American voice community so incredibly encouraging and embracing and wanting to help and wanting to, you know, do everything they can to give back, which is been incredible. And again, my experience in Australia in theatre was not that at all. And that, again, you know, other people have different experiences. But for me over here, it's been great. My biggest thing, as I said, I think was just kind of accepting that I am an Australian over here. And, like, what a great thing, because it is like it surprises me constantly how often I will get asked, you know, where are you from? Oh, you've got such a great accent, all of that sort of stuff. And there's a lot of work here. And I do, like I, you know, I did mention earlier, I do accents. So oftentimes I will get called in for British accent stuff. A lot of the times it's because, you know, my agent kind of says, look, the copyright is written British because they just don't want American. They just want something, sound that's, you know, English speaking, that's different.
Yeah.
That I'll also get thrown into things that if the brand is an international brand, that my agent and or I will put myself forward for that, just because if it's something that's going to go internationally, then I can cover everything for them. I think, you know, the best advice I can give you is just, you know, recognize if you've got the talent, you can make it work. If you put in the hard work, if you've got the talent, like anything, it is the entertainment industry. You can't guarantee anything. But I think you just have to accept who you are and embrace that and be willing and happy to show it, because people love it over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah. A lot of successful A lot of successful Aussies in show business here. I mean, we've got Michael Sheen has come over here and Damian Lewis and some of these other actors and actresses. I mean, and of course, Nicole Kidman, whose name is mentioned on your website. I guess you do a really good Nicole Kidman.
Well, funnily enough,
your voice match.
I was asked to voice match for Nicole Kidman, and had the director make me re-audition like 3 or 4 times. And then eventually just said, can we just hear it with your, you know, your like natural American accent, just see how it sounds. And I was like, do you mean my adopted American accent or my natural? He thought I was an American putting on an Australian accent.
No kidding.
And so was picking it apart. So,
wow.
And then when I told him I was Australian, he was like, okay, that's great. Sounds great. So, so yes. But I mean, that's the thing is that it's kind of more difficult to voice match the Australian actresses over here because they're rarely doing an Australian accent. They're doing an American accent. So it's kind of just about voice matching the tone more than anything
Australian
else.
Matching an Australian actor who's doing an American accent.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow, that was like recently I was doing something for Kate Blanchett in a Scottish accent that I eventually lost out to someone who is Scottish. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, it was like, yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, all right, whatever. Yeah, sure.
She's, you know, but that's, you know, because she's not an Australian. She's doing a Scottish person, so.
Right.
Yeah, we've got a couple of questions, more questions about accents. Because I think that's something because we're voice actors and, you know, we all want to sound like we're from Baltimore or from Missouri. How does the Western Australia accent differ from Melbourne or Sydney and the Gold Coast?
Now, that's a very interesting question because I don't really hear the difference. But I feel like a lot of people say there's a huge difference between it. I would say there is definitely two distinct Australian accents, which is one is more of an outback Australian, which is that real strong, you know, that Crocodile Dundee, that kind of thing, which I don't even do that well, to be honest. But, and then, you know, and then there's the kind of urban Australian, I suppose. And there are degrees of that as you kind of get closer to the city or people who have kind of tried to brush the Australian out of their accent to make it more neutral for people. So I hate to say it, I don't hear it except occasionally in words. Like I know South Australians, excuse me, will say mal instead of mall or mal, as you guys would say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and castle instead of castle. So there are some word differentiations. But again, my experience, I'm a bit of a dud in the Australian accent world. So when people say, can you do a Sydney accent? It's like, yes. Can you do a Queensland accent? Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes, just this one.
Yeah, Tremaine Kendrick Mosley asks, what other accents do you do besides your own? Because I hear you can do great accents and you use them in animation and gaming, I imagine.
Uh-huh. So generally in gaming, I get a lot of the kind of the ethereal, semi-British kind of angelic sound. So I can do like RP received pronunciation, which is the Queen's English, British, which everything
that's
is quite
RP? Clipped.
RP, received pronunciation.
That's a new one to me.
And then there's kind of, and maybe some people in the UK will pick me up on this, but I think it's like a Northern London accent, which is also considered like a Cockney accent. Mm-hmm. Please don't hate me if I'm wrong. But that's kind of more of a working class British accent. So I do that, which is that, hello, governor, what's up then? What are you doing with that then? That kind of thing.
I like the show Derek.
Oh, I only saw one episode of Derek.
There's a little bit of that, you know, going on in there from time to time. It is hard to watch.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
To drive it off the rails, but.
please drive it, drive away. So then I do Irish, Scottish, Russian. I've got a pretty good ear for accents. So generally, you know, because I've booked in Irish, I've booked in New Zealand. There's a lot of things that I can do given a script and given a bit of prep time, as opposed to speak New Zealand now, or stuff like that. So
what would be something he could say in that Russian accent? I don't know what it is about the Russian
accent. Bedonia.
What do you want me to say in the Russian accent? Yes. I'm not sure what this show is about.
Get moose and squirrels.
I have a Russian
have
beer
my
in the
dark
refrigerator.
And stormy in my hand. I will drink more, please.
I have a Russian beer in the refrigerator. Two ladies down the street, they're from the Ukraine.
Oh, yeah.
And she gave me a Russian beer for Christmas. I was like, thank you.
And you haven't drunk it yet?
I haven't drank it.
What's wrong with you?
Maybe we should break it out right now. Sorry.
What a great idea.
Go on.
I don't know. I got asked to do a Korean accent in an audiobook recently. Huh. So it's just, yeah, I kind of, you know, if you ask me, I can work and do it. Yeah.
Do you voice match? Well, you said Kidman. Do you voice match anybody else? Is there anybody else that's like in your roster? Like I voice match?
In my roster.
Okay.
But yeah, I kind of have done, but no one like continually.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah.
Agents.
Right.
Yes.
Booking people.
Well, Larissa, it's wonderful to see you. It's always wonderful to see you when we get to see each other, whenever we're running into each other. But it's great to have you on the show tonight. And you've been wonderful.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope I helped.
Had a great time.
People. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't hurt at all. Trust me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, it's great having regular workaday talented actors. You know, it's, we have a lot of fun.
There is nothing regular about her.
No, I know. But we just have so many, we've had the Tara Strongs, you know, and they're fun and all, but you know, it's nice to have.
She's one of us.
Cool.
Yeah. Larissa is one of us.
Cat Tara Strong.
Yeah. She's right over here.
Right over there.
She's never too far away.
We look at her every now and then throughout the show. Glance.
You need to start a Vine. Do you Vine?
Not as much as Tara Strong.
You need to start Vining.
Yes.
Anyway. All right. Stop
Thank
it.
You. Oh, yeah, sorry, Thank sorry. You, everyone.
Well, hang out with us for a few minutes. We got to finish up. Do we have any tech update tonight? Anything that you would want to that you could possibly like remember now?
Well, I mean, I think my IPDTL thing was a bit of a tech update because it's one of the new techie things out there right now. And then last week we talked about that mixer face. That's in development and by Centrance, and that's kind of cool. I mean, it's a dedicated, you know, interface for iPad. I mean, dedicated in that it's designed to work on an iPad or an iPhone, but it also works on Android devices and works on Mac and Windows.
And that's a lot of game changers essentially. Yeah. So we're really starting to see us moving into the future. What else could they possibly come up with? Well, yeah.
I'm this close to saying, hey, let's start, you know, getting fully invested into Mavericks, OS for Apple people, OS 10.9.2, I think is around the corner, should be pretty soon. And that's kind of when I start going, okay, I'm feeling comfortable now with, you know, making the leap into the next generation of OS. I have it running on my machine, but it's a separate boot up, so I can hold down the Alt key when I turn it on and I can switch over to Mavericks and play around. But I don't know. There's no real like killer feature that I know of in Mavericks. Are you using it full time yet, Dan? Or
only on the laptop? Although my for some reason my Safari seems to have gone south, and I have a feeling that perhaps it has to do with an update with Mavericks. So it might be time to shove it on there.
We'll see. Yeah, there's always seems to be a point with me where the OS I'm already using gets just funky enough and I go, okay, maybe I'll make the leap. And when you do a major upgrade like that on the Mac, it often fixes a lot of problems. I mean, it can make some couple of problems, but it can also fix a lot of problems in the process as well. So you know, stay tuned. I'll let you know as soon as we're running our show on Mavericks. When we're doing this show on Mavericks, you'll know for sure it's fully prime time and debugged because I ain't touching it until I feel like it's really completely online. Or debugged, so to speak.
Yes. It's been requested. They have to actually request me to do this to talk about Studio Suit for a sec.
Oh yeah, please. What's the latest?
The latest is my shoulder is really messed up. Yeah, I had an MRI. And they were like, "What's that got to do with Studio Suit?" You guys don't realize I make this stuff myself. I cut it with love. I can't carry this stuff anymore. I mean, the bags of this stuff weigh about 120 pounds, and I used to be able to carry them around myself until the last time when Lamar and I were carrying it out of the warehouse, and my shoulder is like burning, and I'm like, I think I hurt my shoulder. But just keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. Yeah. That was a month ago. It still hurts. So I've had an MRI, and the MRI essentially said, your shoulder is falling apart. I've got bursitis. I've got two tears in my rotator cuff. I've got arthritis from an old hockey injury.
All because you love that product and the voiceover community.
Because I
so
want to get it to you. Absolutely. So I have gone over to Custom Canvas and talked to Mr. Guido, who does all the sewing on those, and they're going to do all the production work. I'm just going to truck about 10 bags of this stuff over there. We will have a large supply of this stuff that'll be probably more accurately measured than I usually measure. Some of you have gotten studio suits, know what? They're 5x8 panels. Some are like, all right, this one's 4'6". This one's like 6 feet. It's, you know, measuring was never one of my strong points. You know, I never went by, you know, measure twice, cut once. It was like cut. You know, I really did. Sometimes you'll see a pen line in it.
Cut once, then buy another piece and start again.
Well, I wasn't going to do that. Anyway, we're going to get back into production with that this week. So if anybody's ordered any, it'll be fresh off the rack, hopefully next week. I'm just not going to be carrying it.
Good, good.
I'm going to be carrying the product, but I'm not going to be carrying the product.
Well said, yes.
All right.
Anyway, well, let's see. What else we got?
There's stuff flying into the show notes as we speak.
It's like we have this crawler here that's telling us what to talk about. You're going to be in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Again?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah. No, I mean, now that I've got Edge on my side here, I'm part of the Edge team. You know, I'm able to travel a bit more than I used to. I mean, because we got a little budget for that kind of stuff. So I will be in New York. I'm flying in on the 26th of January, and it's actually kind of cool. I'm gonna engineer a session, and I really don't do that hardly ever. But we're doing a session for Stephen Fry in the BBC, and Stephen's coming into our studio, and it's Source Connect. So they're a little nervous because they know I really know Source Connect like the back of my hand. So they're like, "Well, if you come in for that." I was already planning to make the trip, but then it turned out the session was coming up, so I planned around it. So I'll be there for that, and that'll be on the 27th Monday. I'll be in studio for a 4-hour session with Stephen Fry. How cool is that? And then I'll be there all week, flying back to LA on Friday. Thursday night is a little mixer meetup hangout thing. So if you are in New York, in the greater area, New York, and you want to come down and see me and just see Edge Studio and hang out and have a snack, and we'd be glad to have you. EdgeStudio.com for the details. I think it starts around 7 p.m. At Edge Studios on West 45th Street in Midtown Manhattan. So that should be a good time. Looking forward to it. So if anybody in New York wants me to come out and help you in person, I do a lot of stuff remotely, as does Dan, but I will be physically in New York for several days, and happy to help anybody out. If anybody needs anything, of course, my services are available to you in person. So let us know. Look us up. Go to vostudiotech.com, put in a request, or go to the contact form and let us know what you need, and we'll slide you into the schedule.
Excellent. And I'm going to Vegas next weekend.
Sweet.
I'm going to for Maurice Tobias's Gentleman's Workshop.
Jealous.
Yes.
I want one.
Yes. Well, we know. But you can still show up. I mean, we won't let you in, but you can at least be there. And then I'll have a report from there, hopefully. We're also, and Joe Cipriano is going to be with us there. He's going to be doing a reading of his book. And Wovo is going to be co-sponsoring that little event for everybody that's going to be out there. That's going to be
Wovo,
fun.
Wovo getting out there, sponsoring stuff.
Well, I mean, our headquarters is in Vegas because that's where Corvo and Dusty are.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Hey, right on cue.
And what else do we have here? Oh, next week. We have a name you may not be familiar with, but you will be when we're done with you next week. Absolutely. It's Kelly Passano, who is the head of Voicecaster in Burbank. She teaches beginners through experienced who need workouts, and she is also hugely known as a casting director. So you want to be here next week and let her know that you're here.
Absolutely.
She's great. That's going to be
an interesting show.
Those are guests I've been really jonesing for, so I'm looking forward to that for sure. Every time we have a casting person or anybody in that field, it's a rare opportunity to get inside their head, you know. It's cool.
Yes. And then on January 27th, we're doing one of our fun hangouts. Everyone says, hey, what's great with the hangout? They're fabulous. We have a great time. It's a great show. Even if you're not in the hangout, it's just fun hanging out with everybody.
And I'll be in New York. I'll be in the Edge Studios doing the hangout from there. So that'll be a twist. If you're around, maybe you can come hang out physically in person with me. I don't know.
It'd be great. See. We need to do more of that, actually.
Yeah.
Let's see. And we need to. So if you want to be in the hangout, email us at ewebshop@gmail.com for your RSVP. Mm-hmm. And you can get into the room with us. We can take about 8 people at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping. And of course, the Google Hangout interface changes like every 5 minutes.
Yeah, the Google Hangout interface of the month. It's every time it's different. But you know, we're all in it together. We all figure it out along the way, and then we make a show out of it.
Absolutely. We'd like to thank, of course, our donors, ever-present Eric Aragone, J.S. Gilbert. Thank you for your wonderful kindness and patience with us, I think, too, and your generosity. And everybody else, if you would like to help us out, the show's not, I mean, we're making it happen. We really appreciate your support. There's a donate button right above, George's head it's right above, it's right below our logo. It says donate. You can donate to this, but you can also, if you just want to cheap out, there still are the $5, East West Audio Body Shop. liquors, which are a premium item,
a limited edition.
Yes,
because I understand our logo might change.
It might. I think we're going to go to we might have a secondary logo.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got like 3 or 4 logos myself.
Yeah, it never hurts to have a couple different logos to play around with.
Yeah, we had our logo contest, and a few people sent in some stuff, and there was some fun stuff with fonts, but somebody came up with something very original, and we really like that.
We'll show that off soon.
We'll show that off probably next week. Yeah. Let's see. We need to thank, of course, our sponsors, the magnificent Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials, VoiceOver Extra, and your employers.
EdgeStudio.com.
Yes.
Your one-stop shop for coaching and training and tech support and production work as well.
And, of course, our spouses who put up with this every week. Of course, Marcy's out at some board meeting somewhere, so I'm like on my own. I can be nutsy as I want. And she's not. And the TV's not as loud. So, let's see. And, of course, thank Aunt Amy. And please like us on Facebook. Go over to East West Audio Body Shop. There's the EWABS group, and then there's the East West Audio Body Shop group on Facebook.
It's freaking confusing. What are you going to do? We locked down the Facebook group recently, but if you want to be in our Facebook group, please just let us know. We can let you in. It's just too much spam going on.
Yeah, we was getting spammed.
Yeah.
Also, follow us on Twitter at EWABS_show and subscribe. Please subscribe on YouTube and like the videos because that's important.
Yes,
because that's how we know. That's how we get lots of people watching. Now, there was like 52 of you in there watching live tonight. We love having a live audience. If you missed the show, of course, you can always watch it on YouTube afterwards. It's just not quite as much fun.
No.
Because you're not quite as involved.
And the show is in an audio format, thanks to Lee Penny. It is on iTunes as a podcast.
Yes.
So if you just like listening to the car like I do, you can go there and grab it.
Right. And also our producer, Kathy Curden, who's done a great job getting us fabulous guests like the fabulous Larissa Gallagher, who joined us tonight. And, of course, Anthony Geddick, who helps us in the chat room. And Jason Lawson and Lee Penny, again, of course, for his production assistance with the podcasts. I think it's going to do it for tonight.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, but it was a much better show tonight.
It was. Cheers, everybody. Thanks Cheers. For bringing the beverages. Oh,
see, yes. I donate beverages.
I think we're going to make that a weekly thing. Yeah. Anyway.
Maybe.
I can hold it together. Yes, and thank you for doing that, Larissa.
My pleasure.
I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Wyrm in the West, here with
Larissa Gallagher in the West.
Yay! And together we all are East West Audio Body Shop. Have a great week, everybody.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Have a good night.